And now we have some letters from the Evening News.
We heard earlier about the negotiations for Norfolk to receive 50 Syrian refugees. There were several online reactions from Evening News readers. Jenkins wrote, "Very sad that councils are cutting services and help for the vulnerable, not to mention discussing closure of fire stations, local police stations, etc. Yet we'll provide money to help finance people from thousands of miles away. The refugee crisis is dreadful, but we cannot afford to provide free housing and health cover for the entire world." Rushall, chap 2, had a different view. "The government have already announced that the money to help these poor souls is being redirected from the foreign aid budget. We should be proud and welcoming. There is plenty of housing and space in Norfolk. Let's get back to the true British values of friendliness, generosity, and help those who need our help." And Green Inc. from Tunbridge Wells agreed. "The Western world is content to live its materialistic, cushy lifestyle of the sweat of cheap overseas labour. However, the minute most people are asked to give something back, we see howls of protest."
Meanwhile, at Carrow Road, doom and gloom reign following Norwich's latest defeat. Here are three of the online comments received by the Evening News. Andy Evans wrote, "Hate to say it, but we're in deep trouble. Luckily, there's not much gap in points above us, so we can still get ourselves out of it. But the main problem is the constant switching off every week. We need every player to be switched on. A bit unlucky with three efforts cleared off the line." Algarve Canary agreed. "On this display, I see certain relegation for a totally demoralised team." And Crichton Canary added, "Well, results don't lie. We are a genuine championship side. No matter how many defender and midfield players you buy, you still need someone to put the ball in the back of the net when opportunities arise. However, most of all, the team needs the heart and the sheer guts to go out and make a game of it."
Bill Kite of Cherry Close in Norwich wrote in when he heard of a proposal to remove the white lines for some of Norfolk's roads. And he writes, "Have you ever heard anything quite like it? It is being suggested by someone to remove the white lines from our rural roads. Whatever will they think of next? Who on earth believes that this will reduce accidents? But did I hear someone say something about saving money? This is more like it. So does this mean that no more cat's eyes? The invention that has saved countless lives? As I truly believe the white lines have? I am, some might suggest, an old-timer. But as I have been driving for 60 years, I believe it qualifies me to know what I'm talking about. I have driven just about every motor vehicle known to man, and remember one time here in Norfolk when I was charged with bringing a full load of police personnel with their families from Runton back to Norwich in the early hours of an evening out. I remember the thick fog, the drivers pulling up to let me pass simply because, as a bus driver, they obviously assumed I knew the road well, and following me made sense. They were wrong because I had never driven on that road before. I was on a wing and a prayer, just as they were, and driving a very large vehicle on some of the narrowest roads and lanes. I also had the lives of some 50 passengers to consider. Vehicles were pulling up left, right and centre, making my job even harder. So I promise you, had it not been for the white lines in the road, and of course the cat's eyes, my passengers would never have got home safely that night."
Peter Hammond of Sproston writes, "It is gratifying to see that Norwich is at the forefront in training people in the art of holesmanship. NVQs are issued to acknowledge expertise in creating square, rectangular, round or octagonal holes in our roads. But wait, there's more to it than that. Trainees have to learn the art of placing cones and traffic barriers around the hole and the installation of temporary traffic lights. When a trainee has mastered this, they are ready for the final lesson, which is to learn how to ensure that the traffic barriers fall down into the carriageway and across the footpath, thereby inconveniencing drivers and pedestrians alike. and making sure that the lights shine red in both directions at times of peak traffic flow, and doing no work for days at a time to maximise the inconvenience, frustration and cost to the long-suffering public. NVQ Level 3 passes are issued to anyone showing this degree of mastery of holesmanship. There is only one more step to take to gain the ultimate accolade. If you can arrange for the holes to be dug at strategic positions in the road network to ensure the maximum chaos, then you have reached the pinnacle of success and can call yourself a traffic planner. Happy days.
A story in last week's Evening News suggested all drivers be retested when they're 70 years old. There were many online comments. Mr. Grouchy wrote, "This is ageist talk. Why not have all drivers retake the driving test every 10 years? Age does not automatically make you a bad driver. With age comes experience. There are drivers out there of all ages who drive badly." Jim agreed. "Mr. Grouchy, I totally agree. I am 69 and I've had a licence for too many years to remember, and I drive on a regular basis. I consider myself to be a better driver than a large percentage of drivers on the road. Not all drivers are over 70 are bad drivers. Today's 70-year-olds are agile, sharp and computer literate, and are younger at 70 than our parents ever were. I do think, though, that a medical and sight test should be necessary on a regular basis for over 70s. Juno65 added, "Nobody is saying elderly drivers are all bad in the same way not all young drivers are either. But the fact is, as we get older, things change. We become slower and less responsive and prone to health issues, notably our eyesight."